The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Hey, it is, September 1st, 2021 for the podcasters. Whew, I was running around the last minute here, so a little out of breath. And if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right, I got a nice little blue shirt. Look, it kind of reminds me of the color of the water in Cancun. It was beautiful down there. I had to go there once, meet one of our missionaries. We kind of met there. It was nice. Anyway. So, hey, look, if you want to watch the show, you can watch me talking. It's really impressively exciting. And you can do that by going to the carm.org website, carm.org. And I'm going to be doing my Patreon video tomorrow, as I just don't have time today and yesterday. Just been, you know, how schedules are. But tonight, I think it's at 6 o'clock, I've got a scheduled discussion. It'll be 9 p.m. That's right, 9 p.m. Eastern time, a Oneness Trinity talk. And so a bunch of people are interested in that. I'll just open up a room, and it'll just be a nice, friendly conversation. I've noticed something about the Oneness people. Their attitudes are one of mockery and condemnation and illogic. I just hope that the people that I talk to tonight aren't rude and condescending as so many of them are. That's one of the concerns I've got, and just hopefully we'll have a good conversation. And I'll put the link on Carm Facebook, so if anybody wants to listen, watch, join in, whatever, you can do that. All right, so there you go. Hey, give me a call. 877-207-2276, and we have four open lines. Give me a call. And if you like the show, I don't say this very often, if you like the show and you want it to continue, would you please consider supporting us? You can just go to carm.org, carm.org, on the right-hand side of basically you pay, right side, I would say right, should be left. Left now. You'll see the donate option on the menu. Just see donate, about halfway down. And no, we're not dying. No, you know, God's not going to take us home if you don't have money. No, nothing like that. It's just sometimes people want to support, and that's how you can do it. You can check that out there. All right, so that's one thing, and I think that's about it. I think that's all there is. So why don't we just get to the callers. I have to give the number out again, 877-207-2276. Let's get to David from Utah. Hey, Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First question, what did Jesus, when he's on the cross, why did he say that, why have thou forsaken me? Didn't he know what was, that he was the sacrifice? I don't understand why he was saying that.
Psalm 22 is the reason. The first verse of Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So he's quoting scripture. And when you read Psalm 22, This is what it says in Psalm 22, starting at verse 11. Now, what does this sound like? Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So what does that sound like?
And he's quoting scripture. Yeah.
What I just read, what does that sound like?
I don't know.
They pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them. They cast lots. evil people are around him, his bones are not broken. That's the crucifixion. Okay? Mm-hmm. Did that sound like, you know, dividing the garments, he pierced his hands and his feet, he count his bones, which means they're not broken. Dogs is a term for Gentiles. They've surrounded him. So it's the crucifixion, which is in Psalm 22, which is written 1000 B.C., which is why Jesus was quoting it. He's fulfilling Scripture.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes, it makes sense. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Thanks for clearing that up for me.
Okay, got anything else?
I have a quick Bible, non-Bible question.
Sure.
Is your real name Matt? Your real name Matt Slick?
Yes. Name? Yeah, Matthew John Slick, S-L-I-C-K. My name I was born with. Driver's license, passport. Yep, my real name. I learned how to run as a kid because of that name too.
So, I'm just curious. Are you related, Grace Slick?
Actually, Grace Slick is my daughter. Yeah, Grace. I have a daughter named Grace Slick, but it's not because of Jefferson Airplane. Not that Grace.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, people say that.
But two people I know had my name was Slick. So, yeah. Okay.
No, it's a contraction of the German Schlichting, and it just became Slick.
And
that's how it is. So my ancestors are from Germany. No big deal. Like, that's just an FYI. Okay. Some people think it's a fake name, all right? And I get that, but it's real.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for answering my question.
All right, buddy. God bless.
God bless.
All right. If you want to give me a call, we have a few open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Zach from Ohio. Hey, Zach, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, buddy. What do you got, man?
No, just a simple year or two, I've accepted God in my heart alone, my wife, and my kids go to a Christian school, and it seems like everything seems more spiritual. I don't know if that makes any sense. I feel like, is it just me or am I crazy that it seems like God's had it, the world?
Like you're a little hard to understand, sorry. So say it again. Are you crazy or what? And what's the other?
Am I crazy that I think that God is upset with people? Just because everything is...
He's what,
like
people?
Stuff.
I'm sorry. Wait. If I don't understand each word, you keep going, I get confused. So, you don't... God is what with people? No, it's okay. It just happens sometimes.
Upset.
Upset with people? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, he is. Uh-huh.
It sounds like everything going on around the world, whether it's in Europe or Serbia or California or Mexico or Venezuela...
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans, it makes me worry. I'm glad that my relationship with God is getting stronger, but I just feel like it's getting weaker with everybody else.
Well, here's some not so encouraging news. All the nations will be gathered against Israel, which means America's going to turn its back on Israel. Probably we are considered part of the European market and area because of the offspring, so to speak, of England and the market. So we're probably going to be joining in with the Antichrist, and we're being conditioned for that kind of a thing now by wearing masks, by submitting to shots, passport, vaccine passports, where the state tells you what you got to do, and your rights are diminished.
Look,
and so this is kind of thing. Plus, plus the Bible says there's going to be apostasy on the Christian church, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. So things are going to get tough. And we just need to be guarding ourselves, preparing for potential problems and issues, and yet at the same time be hopeful because God will never forsake us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to, leave us without an answer, without some provision of some way. And so we can walk through the difficulties coming, but we have to stand up against
it. That's why I'm not worried right now.
I'm not either. Good for you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. First time listener, first time caller. You have an awesome show.
Well, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate that. Keep listening, okay?
No problem.
All right.
Good stuff. God bless. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks, Zach.
Bye.
All right. Hey, folks, four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Four open lines. Give me a call. All right, let's get to Rebecca from Salt Lake City. Rebecca, welcome. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a first-time caller,
okay.
And I just I wanted to ask you, now, when we die and we meet Jesus for judgment, do we go as we are when we die? Like, I'm a woman, I'm 73. Do we meet him like this, or just our spirit?
Well, we're not exactly sure what age we're going to be when we get there. I don't think it's going to really make much difference if we die in our 80s. Glorified bodies can be just as nice as a one in our 20s, so I don't know. But the Bible says that we can be absent from the body. And 2 Thessalonians 12, 2 through 4 talks about a guy who died and went in the body or out of the body. I do not know. Such a man went up to the third heaven and saw things. And so that's that verse. And then there's 2 Corinthians 5, 8, which says that to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. So the human soul, the human spirit can exist apart from the physical body. But the way God wants things to work is for us to be united with our physical bodies. So the spirit can move and exist apart from it. In the resurrection, then we will be in that state of unity in our spirit and our body. But before that, when we die, it looks like our spirit just goes to be with the Lord. And the resurrection has not yet occurred. And so that's what it looks like is the case.
Okay, and the second question is when I had my first baby, he lived 3 days, and then he died. Mm-hmm. And so would he meet Jesus for judgment? Because he was a soul, and he did live. However, you know, he couldn't have sinned. So how does that work?
Well, we don't know if he could or could not have sinned. People make those conclusions, but that's a theological discussion. I won't get into that.
But he's only 3 days old.
Yeah, I lost a baby at basically a half hour old. And the Bible says in Romans 5, I sympathize with what you're, you know, it's horrible. But in Romans 5:19, it says, through Adam's sin, the many were made sinners. So we have we have a doctrine called federal headship and representation. Not going to get into all that. But I believe that I'm going to see my son Jacob in heaven. And I don't know how old he's going to be or how old he'll look, but I just believe I'm going to. And I have my reasons for that. In fact, I even wrote a novel called The Influence where I talked about Jacob. I used my son as a name with a main character, and some things happen in heaven and stuff like that. But so, you know, I believe we'll see him. And I believe most probably that all babies who die go to heaven. And most probably, I couldn't prove that, but that's what I kind of lean towards. And, you know, we'll see him. And I don't know what state. You know,
okay, I believe my son was named William Todd, but we called him Todd, precious. But anyway, I believe I'll meet him in heaven as well. I try to be a good Christian as much as I can. I pray and listen to, of course, the truth.
Good.
But when he goes to heaven and I meet him, will he be a baby or will he be a man or just a spirit? Or
it doesn't say.
How will I recognize him?
It doesn't say. But we know this. We know that when Jesus appeared, he retained his crucifixion wounds. And tell you what, we got a break. Let me talk a little more about this after the break, okay? We'll be right back.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, folks, give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We have four open lines, so why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get back on the line with Rebecca from Salt Lake City. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so what I was saying was Jesus appeared and he retained his crucifixion wounds. So he's the firstborn from the dead.
Radio.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, honey. I was talking to my husband. Go ahead. Oh. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. And so we could conclude from that evidence that we're going to retain what we are when we're resurrected. Now, that's not to say it's a fact, but there's evidence for that. What happens with babies? I think that they're going to be older. You know, 33 seems to be the age, the magic age, when a person is at least with the males, at his best.
Jesus, when Jesus was crucified, wasn't he 33?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And 33 seems to be the best age that a person is physically, mentally, emotionally. And I was going to say, it is also the age when Christ was crucified. So maybe that'll be the standard age we'll appear in. But I don't know. I could be right, could be wrong. So just talking, and I don't know. Okay.
Okay, I was going to say then I'm 73, so then I can reverse and be 33. Great.
Yeah, I'd like that
and
too.
So my son, but I, so you don't have an answer as to how will I recognize him, because he was only 3 days, and how will you recognize your baby?
I don't know. But, you know, there's just these qualities where people have where you just know someone's around you and you don't know how you know. There's something else going on. But I just think when we get there, we'll just have that ability that God's going to somehow grant that to us. There's going to be some communication, some knowledge. And I don't worry about it. But it's worth asking, but the Bible doesn't tell us. So I don't have a good answer for you. Other than that.
Indeed. Okay, well, I thought you were slick enough.
Well, thanks. I like that.
Thank you for your ministry. I listen to you every day, and God bless you, darling.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. All right, well, God bless.
One way or the other, right?
That's right.
Okay, honey, you have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Thanks. All right, we have nobody waiting online, so why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. So I was saying that tonight, in about 2.5 hours from now, at 9 p.m. Eastern time, I'm going to be opening up a room and going to be putting some links out to discuss oneness versus Trinity stuff. Now, last night I did the same thing with Reformed theology and had discussions with people about Reformed theology, because what I discovered on the web a great deal is that people who say they're Christians certainly don't behave like it a lot of times. They're often very arrogant, very condemning, full of mockery, misinformation, aren't ready to learn. That's not everybody, of course, but I do meet people like that a lot. And when I discuss Reformed theology with someone, I say, well, that's not exactly our position. Oh, yes, it is. I meet this quite a bit. Not just one or two, but a lot of people will behave like that. I'm reminded of the debate I had with a oneness guy about 2.5 weeks ago, where he actually said to me, he said, Matt, I know more about what you believe than you do. And when you meet people like that, how do you have a rational discussion with people who are just so stuck in some kind of a tirade of misinformation and a lack of objectivity? How do you have a conversation like that? Well, I'm hoping that that won't be the case tonight. And the reason I'm doing this is because the same kind of vitriol and obstreperous condemnation and mockery has been cited by oneness people as they mock and condemn the doctrine of the Trinity. And so I thought, well, I'm going to provide them an opportunity to ask someone who knows what the Trinity is and knows what oneness is and can ask questions. And that's going to happen tonight, Lord willing, unless something else comes up and preempts it for some unknown reason. But that's the plan. And I'll be putting it on the Carn Facebook page. And you guys can go check out the links. I'll have a link for participation and a link for just watching. And then people come in and we just talk. And hopefully it'll work out fine. So there you go. That sounds interesting. You can check it out. And, of course, oneness theology, I will just say publicly, is false doctrine. And those who believe official oneness theology cannot be true Christians. So, hey, there you go. All right. Why don't you give me a call? Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Martin from Virginia. Martin, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Appreciate your ministry and all. I think a couple days ago, you were talking about doing more research on the COVID vaccine.
Yes.
And you put out there that you didn't have the information or the data on the government reimbursements to hospitals for COVID patient
treatment. And I want it.
Mm-hmm. You got it. I sent it to you yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Full
you're email. Awesome.
Yeah, it's part of the CARES Act. There's some subsections in there. And I put what they carved out. So it's the info, and I think on the subject line it's requested COVID reimbursement information. So something like that.
Okay, I'm looking. Hold on one sec. I'm looking. There it is, COVID reimbursement. Hi, Matt. I've been trying to get this information, blah, blah, blah. I saw it yesterday, moved it into a folder, and every now and then I get really swamped. I have to do a video tomorrow morning. I got to teach a Bible study tomorrow night. And
no, I got you. You've got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yes, I do.
You've got projects that, and I get it. I work on little things piecemeal at a time.
Yeah.
And as stuff comes in, you kind of keep progressing that stuff. And
okay.
I'm sure this is just kind of one of those things, too.
Yeah, this is awesome. I'm looking through your email. Look at that, dude. Hey, I like you. You're doing some good stuff here. And this is exactly the kind of stuff I need.
There's more. There's kind of more that I can kind of pass on to you. I just can't, not this far.
Well, you should put your, why don't you put your, email me your phone number and stuff like that. And that way, if I get to the point where I can call you, I can say, okay, here's some information. In fact, here in Boise, Idaho area, we're finding out that a lot of medical staff are quitting, particularly nurses.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to take the vaccine. And I need to get testimonies. Another thing I want is just a bunch of people, and I'll keep it as anonymous as anybody wants me to or not. I'm not going to put anything out there that will jeopardize anybody's safety or work. But, if people want to email me, info@carm.org, they're at work and they're being forced to take this vaccine. Like, we have a friend, I just talked to him literally today. And he's being forced, works at a hospital, and he's being forced. He says, nope, not going to do it. And so he's moving on. And I'm hearing this is happening a lot all over the place.
Yeah. If you check my email out, I just found out that our large institution is now mandating the vaccine and mandating proof of vaccine. So,
It's ridiculous. This is oppression. You have the right to do with your body as you desire. And that's how it should be. And it doesn't fit in an abortion because the baby in you is not your own body. But the thing is, they always say, hey, it's your body. You can do what you want with it. And they use this bad logic. But anyway, they say that except when it comes to COVID, because they're going to tell you what you got to do. And the COVID vaccine has got some risks to it. And I've been finding out what they are. And I've been doing
stats. Yeah, there's some high officials at the CDC that are just now, in the last few hours, resigned.
Okay, I need to about that. Hold on, man. We got a break coming up. Okay, I want to talk to you a little more about it. We have four open lines. Give me a call, folks. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Give me a call.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, we have four open lines, so give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on the phone here with Martin. All right. Oh, boy. I was reading some stuff but on the break, so I kind of forgot where we were.
Oh, hey, Matt. Yeah, no, we were... I was kind of discussing that. I passed you on some... Mm-hmm. governmental reimbursement information on how the carve out from the CARES Act that hospitals will be getting, or not just hospitals, but other providers.
So this is what I understand about it. So you've done the research. I've not done the research on this yet, but what I've understood is that if there's more classifications of COVID deaths and diagnoses, the hospitals get more money from the government. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. There's a direct correlation between mm-hmm. Deaths and even just treatments.
And the other thing I'm looking for, because that's documentation I want, but I also need, and I really do need this. I'm asking people out there if they have the information. I'm going to go look for it. Maybe I can usually find it, but maybe someone's already done the research. Here, go here. But the thing is, the inaccuracy of COVID diagnoses. I need the documentation on that. And the reason I do is I've spent quite a bit of time putting together a table that deals with different causes of death, obesity, H1N1, drug abuse, AIDS. And I've had to convert the information to a standard form. and I had to develop a spreadsheet for this, and so I got that going, and I'm and so it looks like the statistics show that the COVID death is only about twice as bad as the common flu. That's it.
Right.
And
yeah.
So
yeah, I've got some data on that for you too.
Yeah.
I've got Six Sigma certification, and so I've looked at Canada has some good statistics from their hospital reporting. We have some really good ones in a couple states here in the state, and if you can correlate that from a mean, an average, then you can figure that the reported COVID deaths are not, it died with COVID, not died due to COVID.
Right. That's the thing. If you get in a motorcycle accident and you got 18 broken bones and then you had COVID, it's a COVID death. That's what they were doing.
Right.
And
right.
So the reason I need that is because if I get the percentage that I know is false, then I can apply it to the statistics that they've got, and I have a feeling it's going to be the same as the flu. And that's the case.
It's
I've heard it's very slightly above the flu. That's all.
Yeah.
If that's the case, why are they not? I need documentation for this. So why are they not shutting down the economy for the flu? Because it's not politically expedient.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's right.
The flu actually is more deadly among, I think, 14-year-olds and below. Mm-hmm. The flu virus has been more deadly.
Right. Yeah, and I need all this kind of information. And I'm developing actually a section on CARM where I'm going to ask individual questions and deal with individual articles. So it might be 10 to 15, 20 articles. I'm also going to develop a cut and paste page where most of the information just condensed is put there. And I'm also going to develop a Word document that anybody can download with all the documentation of everything. And I'm trying to find just the official quotes, the official information. And it's been very, very difficult to get official stuff because I've discovered the CDC has altered their information and they word stuff in such a way that it's slightly misleading in many cases. So it's an uphill battle.
There's some shiftiness kind of going on in that CDC side of things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, when they say things like, for example, they'll say cloth masks reduce COVID infections. Well, they do, but they don't tell you that they're only 3% effective and that the deleterious effects of cloth masks, there's inhalation, the masks become germ carriers if you touch them very much. You're supposed to wash them regularly. People don't do this, but in clinical studies, they reduce the COVID infection rate about 3%. And so they say, they don't tell you that. They just say it reduces COVID infections. So you get this idea, it's really effective. And it's not. Even surgical masks aren't, they're only like at the best 50% effective, at best. And 95 is like 97, 98% effective if worn properly. So no problem there. If you want to do it, wear that. But
a little more expensive, but, if you want to properly use an N95, I mean, I've used those before with painting. You can't keep reusing them. I mean,
You
can't keep reusing them.
That's right. And so I'm looking and learning all this stuff, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Why is it people aren't being told this stuff? No, just wear a mask. Just wear a mask. And face diapers and your conformancy mask. And then they're going to mandate that you have to be vaccinated. And then I found out that natural immunity is minimum 13 times better than the COVID vaccine. 13 times better. And then if you take the COVID vaccine with it, it can become, they say it's even better, but there's some information about how it can become overall harmful because of the effect of the combination and some stuff. It's incredible how much is out there, and I'm having to wade through it all so I can make it quick and slick.
The science is really not subtle. It's factually not subtle. So.
Yeah. And, there's just so much. I'm doing research on the cost of global economic and trying to find information, but it's tough. So I'm trying to make this as good as I can to have people to have information in their hands with official links that they can go to. And they can say, this is where it is. Here's the quote. Go there. Read the context.
Yeah.
So
that's yeah, I did some research about 8 months ago, and I've got some stuff from, again, Canada,
yeah,
a handful of hospitals in the United States that I can pass on to you about the statistics of died with or died of COVID.
That's so. What I want. Absolutely. So you email me, okay?
Yeah, I'll pass that on to you when I get it all together.
All right, buddy. Yeah, sooner the better, because I'm working it. All right. Okay, God bless, man.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay.
God bless.
Okay. Bye. All right, so, oh, boy. Okay, what happened? I'm not sure. That was odd. Okay, let's see if we're losing, having a tech problem. Let's see. Let's get to Chris from North Carolina. Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man.
Yes, sir. Man, look, I'm a first-time caller, and I just want to tell you, you're not quite as exciting as Rush, but you're in the ballpark.
As who?
At Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, I can become quite obstreperous. I can become very... I'm on Christian radio, and I can really say things like I really want. I call it spiritual Tourette's, but I'm trying to be really nice. But I have... harsh things to say about our treasonous leadership that need to be taken to task and on trial for their treasonous actions against the people of this country and against the Constitution. I could say all kinds of stuff that I actually believe, like that.
And man, I tell you what, mm-hmm. I am so with you.
Yep.
My question, Matt, is where do you feel like America is at right now in regard to biblical prophecy?
It is in line with the overall apostasy that the Bible prophesies in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, that is approaching. The apostasy must come first before the Antichrist can be revealed. And so apostasy means a falling away from the truth. Now, the elect of God can't do that, Matthew 24, 24. That's the invisible church. Those are true converts. But the visible church, the church at large, you know, you go down to church, they got a Bible in their hand, they walk into church. People like that. We're not saying they are or not Christians, everybody, but that's it. They, the public churches, and the movement in America is supposed to go apostate. That's what the Bible prophesies. So where are we? We're not quite there, but we're moving that way. In fact, when I talk like this, people are put off. They don't want to hear it. They think I'm too narrow, etc. They will sidestep the issues. But I've been saying this for years. I've been on radio for 16 years, been doing apologetics for 41 years. And the CARM website's almost 26 years old. It'll be 26 next month. And I've had 147 wow. million visitors on that site. And I'm telling you, I've been telling people for years what needs to be done, you know, within certain range. I'm no expert on everything, but what we Christians need to do. And the preachers need to start preaching to thin the church out and strengthen the body of Christ, because the job of the preacher is to equip the Christian for the work of ministry, not babysit them, not make them feel good, not have a great experience, and that's the goal. No, the truth of God's word, and that the people who are really God's people will want to hear the truth, because Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And Jesus said all kinds of things. Some that were easy and some were not easy. We need the totality, and the Christian church needs to be strengthened, and it will be strengthened. And there's two ways the church can be strengthened. One is voluntarily, and one is non-voluntarily. The voluntary way of strengthening is when we voluntarily get on our knees and we ask God to strengthen us. And the other one is he sends persecution. And that's what's happening in America. Persecution's coming. Hold on, we got a break. We'll talk some more about this, okay?
I'll hold on. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks.
Three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Sorry about that. I was clearing my throat. All right, want to give me a call? We have one open line, 877-207-2276. Chris, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so don't know if I answered your question sufficiently, but there you go. I want to give you an opportunity to respond.
I think America is where we're at because we failed as Christians. to do what we should do.
I totally agree. Absolutely agree. Absolutely. I say that regularly. Yep.
I mean, it does break my heart. And I know what's got to be has got to be.
But well, like I said, the persecution's coming. And this is what a lot of people are not aware of. They think that the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus is going to pre-trib rapture them out and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And that we in America, because we're Americans, we don't have to suffer that much. And as long as I'm a good person and do things right, you know, and I believe in Jesus, I'll be raptured up and everything will be fine. That's the main mentality. But this is what the Bible says. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And so God has granted this to Christians. And the privilege of suffering for Christ, as Paul the Apostle mentions, to count it joy and privilege to suffer for his name. This has been denied a lot of Christians in America. Now, I'm not saying I want persecution. I've certainly received it. I've been threatened with death. I've been swatted, followed. I've had all kinds of things happen. I'm not looking forward to that. But we need to understand that as Christians, if we're going to follow in Christ's footsteps and emulate him, if we speak the truth and live for the truth, there's going to be times when it's going to be difficult. We need to be able to endure through it. And it's not just a comfy, you know, rose garden, you know. And that's why I say that, you know, this idea of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus, which I reject. And we need the Jesus of truth. And we Christians need to be standing on a pedestal proclaiming Christ, metaphorically and literally. And we need to be united in the essentials of the faith, and we need to be standing firm and saying no more on this pro-homosexuality stuff. I don't care what people like it or don't like it. No. We need to say no more on this abortion. We need to say to the women pastors and elders, get out. Get out of the church. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop preaching and teaching. Men, get up. Do your job. And things like this, boy, I'll tell you, I could say a lot of stuff, but people wouldn't want to talk to me after that. They wouldn't listen.
Well,
anyway,
you know it says they got itching ears.
Yeah, and that's what the Bible prophesies. It prophesies that people are going to gather to themselves teachers that'll tickle their own ears. In fact, I was reminded of this angers me. I was reminded of a local church here in Meridian, and I listened to the pastor online because someone was telling me, you know, you got to listen to this guy, and is he good or not? And within 3 minutes, I heard incredible heresy. He said, your words have more power in your life than the words of Jesus. And the arrogance and the foolishness of such things, and they're preaching, and this church is huge. You know, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. But they don't want to listen.
Well, I believe that.
Yeah.
Because we have no idea in America what suffering even entails.
You know,
in Afghanistan now, people are being persecuted.
Yep.
And beheaded because they have a Bible app on their phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. People are not accustomed to Christian battle. And I'm not advocating going out door to door and causing problems. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we become so apathetic due to the comfort level that we have here. The Christian church has become weak. That's what I'm saying.
And I think about the verse that says, whom much is given,
much is required,
much is expected.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we as Americans should be standing up, and you don't have to do it through violence or anger.
Right, exactly right.
We should not be silent at this
That's
point.
That's right. I'm with you, brother. I am with you, and I've been saying this for years and years and years, and that's it. All right, buddy, we've got a lot of callers waiting, so we're going to move on.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Good. God bless, Chris. God bless.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Hopefully. Let's get to Nate from California. Nate, welcome. You're on the area. I'm reading while I'm talking.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay, buddy. What do you got, man?
I can see that you're laughing. Yeah. I asked you a question once, but now I got a little confused. Something came up to me. It's about Sodom and Gomorrah, the Book of Romans, and a lot of more books. I just like to know, because I came out of the bookstore right now and I saw several men acting like if they were truly women, you know, delicate, you know,
and
with earrings on, and stuff that I am against. Do they have? I mean, I know I'm a born man. I never will be a woman in my life. Never have a baby. Never.
Not going to. That's right.
But, no, that's true. That's massively.
So, what's your
true.
Question? So, what's your question, man?
My question is this: do they have men? Are there just some men that have like a sickness when they're born and
look,
and weaker?
Here's the thing. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Beware of those who call evil good and good evil." So, in other words, what's going to happen is people who are going to believe certain areas of truth that are actually lies, it's going to occur. We're not born, men are born men, women are born women, and the stupidity, the idiocy, the moronic, cerebrally vacuous ideology that men are actually women and that they can somehow have babies and all this stupidity that is being taught and pushed needs to be resisted. And here's the problem with people who teach this this remarably lame stuff. They don't think.
Exactly.
And you can't give facts to them and logic to them because they're incapable to some degree of rational discourse. It's about their feelings. They are, in my opinion, many of them, not all, have mental problems and emotional problems and are trying to work them out. And we have to,
With some like mostly the Catholic Church abuse little kids?
Well, that's a different topic, and that's a different topic altogether. But if you're talking about this men and women thing that's going on right now, it's a problem. And notice what's happening is that if you consider, it's called cisgender. You're born a man or you're born a woman. It's called cisgender. And they call it cisgender privilege. Now you're guilty of privilege if you believe that. They are attacking the fundamentals that are the structures of our society. And the inmates are...
Never in my life will I believe that. Never. And
well,
I've been close to people... Yeah, of course, I'm a Christian. And not just that, I've had people next to me have that conversation. It's okay. You can have a boyfriend and get married. I go, you're born a woman. I go, give me. I wanted to pull my hair out, you know?
I hear you. Trust me. I hear you because I go through this a lot. But look, Rick, we got callers waiting. They're stacked up. They always do it at the last 15 minutes. We're going to move on.
It's mainly because they call themselves Christian, Protestant, you know, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah, and they're not Christians.
I'm glad what you said.
It needs to be
said. God bless.
All right, brother.
God bless and keep your word the same as mine. Never be afraid of him either.
I'm trying. Okay, brother, we got to move along. We got callers waiting. All right, buddy. God bless. Keep calling.
You're always
keep
on listening. My side. God bless.
All right, Nate. God bless. All right, let's get to Rick from Salt Lake City. Rick, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, Matt? My heart has sunk to deeper lows this last week or so than I can remember. I look at fellow Christians and conservatives, and they talk about how all this is going to change in the 2022 election and all this stuff. And
I don't see it.
I think these guys have cheated.
Yep.
They're going to cheat again.
Yep.
And they're making a mockery of Christianity, of conservatives, of anybody with any decency. And it's like, what does God want us to do? Do we just speak up against it, or do we fight back, or do we just... I'll tell you, turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek does not mean do nothing, just so people know. I've written an article on CARM, do we have the right of physical self-defense? And I'm not advocating physical self-defense, but the question is, do we have the right? And inside of that article, there's a link to another article, and I go over the issues, in part, in that article, of proper resistance. And I need to do research on other ways for us to resist as Christians. But we want to resist peacefully with protests and with voting and with things like that. But I don't trust our government anymore, personally. I don't trust the voting system anymore. I don't trust that it's legit. And I've known from before, for years ago, I've had inside information in one of the states about voting. I had someone sit in the car with me who was involved with everything. He told me stuff. And this was 10, 15 years ago. And there's corruption well entrenched in the voting mechanism in the system. Now, the left doesn't care about truth. They're not people of honor. The far left, okay? Some are, but the, you know what I'm talking about. They're not people of honor.
You said it right.
They want control. This is why they're opening the borders against the law. They don't care about law. They care about what they want and their power. And they're trying to fix it so that you can't get the Republicans. I'm not Republican. You can't get back in power and say enough of this stuff. In fact, Pelosi, I was listening to Tucker last night, Pelosi said that she's requiring or wants that, I think Twitter and Facebook and other groups, I forgot exactly who, turn over the private information and texts of the opposing people. This is totalitarianism. This is communist methodology. And yet these are the people in our government who are advocating this stuff. It's terrifying. And if they're going to turn on people and be illegal, what do you think they're going to do to Christians? And just so you guys know out there, the CDC has actually advocated, and I have the documentation, that there's three levels of quarantine dealing with people with COVID. One of them is in your house, the other is in your neighborhood, and the other is to be moved to camps. To camps where you're taken away from your homes and your loved ones and you're moved into another area. And they are the ones in power and control over you at that point. Now, this is stuff that I've got documentation on.
I'm sorry, I don't think COVID is the mark of the beast, but I think it's a precursor.
Not.
Because once you get to the point that you can't buy, you can't go, you can't do, you can't this, you can't that, without their little approval,
that's it.
We're done.
And we've got to fight back now. And people aren't used to Christians talking like this. But we've got to. I wish we could talk more about it. Call back tomorrow. Hey, folks, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you. And we got callers waiting. Oh, man, call earlier, okay? We can get through all of it. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, back on there tomorrow. Remember, go to Facebook CARM tonight about a discussion I'm having on oneness. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.